Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord has given us another day, another glorious, wonderful day, more time to make history. I thank God for it. The Lord is moving mightily by His Spirit. And it's a good thing to be in the jet stream of the Lord, doing His working as you're prompted by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit gives you an unction towards something, that's your blessing. You can do so much more with a blessing such as that. Going forward in the Lord is primary. It's very good. It's not just good, it's very good. And God loves us so much. I welcome the handiwork of God and other people. I get excited about it. I get excited about good teaching just as if I'm doing it, because it's the Holy Spirit speaking. And anybody that's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, they believe from the heart. They are candidates to be mightily used of the Holy Spirit. It's from time to time the Lord may use them to say something. And I will not waste the words of God. When the Lord do that, I want to get in on it. See, revelation, it don't just come from one person. That's why John taught that you don't need anybody to teach you. You need the anointing will teach you. And that has puzzled people. But when people speak by the Holy Spirit, the anointing is teaching. If a person deviates from the anointing that God gave them and starts teaching out of their mind, you don't need that. Now, an anointed person can deviate and speak from his own mind or her own mind. And that's not necessary. It doesn't matter who it is. But when you speak prompted by the unction of the Holy Spirit, that is in a class all by itself. What people can do under the anointing outclasses what they can do aside from the anointing. The Word of God is anointed all by itself. The mind of man will try to interpret it. An incorrect interpretation of the pure Word of God is not anointed. And it can do the opposite. It can have an opposite effect of the anointed Word of God. And here's a good example. When they saw the city that, you know, the disciples asked Jesus to call fire down like Isaiah. Now, these are men that followed Jesus. These were disciples. These are disciplined people to learn. They learned God's Word. They were learners. They were disciples. They were endeavoring. They noticed that Jesus was Lord and is Lord. But they asked Jesus to cause fire to come down out of heaven and burn up the city. And Jesus immediately said, "You don't know what spirit you are." Now, these things are in the Word of God so that we can understand. Even good people, even people that would do outstanding things, can be of the wrong spirit. Now, the wrong spirit will definitely misinterpret God's Word, just like Satan did when he tried to tempt Jesus. And the only way to conquer these things, the only way to conquer them is to yield to the Lord. Keep your eyes single, and your whole body will be full of light. Look into Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, doing His Word, regarding His Word as truth, not looking at His Word as a suggestion, but regarding His Word as truth, understanding the will of God. God loves you. He cares about you. And He's going to help you go forward in life, not backwards. He's going to help you not deviate from the essence of God's word. You don't have to fear falling, failing, lacking, or anything. You don't have to fear deception. In fact, you can claim the promises of God's word and speak life over your life. You can say that I am not deceived. I will not be deceived. You can confess by faith that you hate every form of deception. See, a lot of times people, they leave the world alone. They're willing to walk away from the world, but they don't always drive it far from them. When you see people deviating from the truth of God's word, they produce fruit that deviates from the truth of God's word. Our safety net is to train people and teach people that listen to us to look to Jesus, because he can keep them safe. He can keep them in the way of the Lord. Teaching them how to be guided by the Holy Spirit, follow the unction of God, stay in the realm of the anointing, listen for the anointing. And a lot of people have missed it because they get into they've gotten into worldly status. Worldly status is involved with the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, that's where status comes from. Looking down on people. But the heart of God's will is to get everybody, as many people that's willing, saved. And teach them how to follow God. And don't make a big deal out of mistakes and failures. But by the love of God, help people grow and mature and understand, come to understand it. These are very important things that we must do. Forgive the things that's not quite right. Remit the sins of people who have taught wrong. And when the Lord opens the door, look for opportunities where you can be a blessing to help people get corrected. I've seen pastors talk about people that struggle or that didn't measure up. You have to wait. Ask the Lord to give you an opportunity to instruct people, not talk behind their back. God will give you an opportunity. See, when leadership loves, when you love people, you'll just do right by people. Nobody has to make you do it. You just do what's right. And a good way to do that is every person, pretend that's your son or your daughter or your brother or your friend. If you'll do right by your son, then you can do right by anybody. If you can do right by your wife, you can do right by anybody. You have to consider the person that people talk about. Because people will talk about you. If you say something that's not right or do something that's not right, sometimes people won't try to help you get corrected. Sometimes the people that talk wrong or do wrong or have made a mistake, they got off track somewhere, but they still may love God, just like the disciples did when they were of the wrong spirit. It's not hard to be of the wrong spirit. All it takes is a false perception, a misunderstanding of something. And you can say something, and whatever you say goes in motion, and it's hard to stop it once you've done it or said it. Receiving correction is not hard. But it takes love. The pure love of God. And the pure love of God will work when nothing else will. And I want to see God's people in their best condition. I want to see people moved by the Holy Spirit. Because we all can. All it takes is that's why we have pastors. Because people make mistakes and they need people to help them grow. Pastors are kind of like parents and teachers. Mentors. They mentor you in the way of God. And they make sure every child of God that they pastor is educated in the things of God. Then there's teachers to teach people God's word. Mentoring people and teaching people can be two different fields. People that's anointed to teach, they may not have the anointing of a pastor to be patient with people, to love people. I had a friend of mine at work. He got miffed at his pastor because some of the guys that I guess they were coming off drugs and they had issues. And he said, "Why are you so easy on them?" He said he was just he told me he said he was upset because the pastor was so he dealt with him and he wasn't hard on him. And I said, "Don't get mad at him. He's anointed for that." And always remember, the anointing gives us God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. It's beyond what's normal. That kind of patience and love, that when a pastors are anointed to do this, they are naturally anointed. Now, a lot of people are in the office of, they are traditional pastors and then they are real pastors. Real pastors are anointed for what they do. And the Lord a pastor's anointing can rest on a coach. You don't see, people limit God, but God is not limited. There are preachers out there, they've been called to the ministry, but they have a job as a coach. And sometimes the Lord will, where God will use them is in the high school or elementary school as a coach. But they have that pastor's anointing. In this stage of their life, they will mentor people to become great athletes and great people of God. They can be, you know, God is not limited and restricted by the traditions of men. Either a person has, some people are called a pastor, but they don't have the anointing for, if you have the love for the people, the concern it takes, you don't see a lost soul, you see a person you're going to win. Everybody that come to you, you bless them, you treat them just like your children. I mean, you love them with the same kind of love that God loves us all with. And you're patient with people when they make mistakes and you help them grow and you help them. They're anointed for that. But see, the mind of man is different. Men only go so far. You know, people say that they're apostles and they're not. A real apostle, they have the revelation. They're anointed to fulfill a function. And the Lord to teach them things and prepare them for a specific work. And they can do, you know, they can serve in any office of the, you know, fivefold if they have to. I'm learning what gave me that office, and I just follow him. I do whatever he say. And he sent, you know, an apostle is kind of like a prophet that's sent to do something. Now, I don't know everything, but I know some things. Now, some would say, God called you to be an apostle, and you don't even know what all an apostle can do. How can you say you're an apostle, and you don't know what all an apostle does? Well, I'm being honest. I don't know. I didn't ask to be an apostle. That's what God chose for me to do. Now, I'm just trying to make my calling and election sure. Do by obeying whatever he say. And then I learn. See, as you, if you do what God say long enough, you'll figure it out. You'll learn some things. In other words, an apostle can do a whole lot more than I know he can do. It just depends on what God wants him to do. Whatever God anointed him to do, and you know, whatever God tells him to do, he is anointed to do it, and he can do it. It doesn't really matter what it is. But I know, and that's so it is with every calling. Teachers can teach certain things that, teachers can teach things in a way to raise apostles. It's, you know, you got to separate status from the call. A faithful teacher can do greater works than an unfaithful apostle. Now, if you can have the office and you're not faithful, you betrayed it. But if you have the office, use the office. It's for use, not for status. If people ever get that, they'll stop stumbling. They'll stop stumbling. Period. If you use the office to serve, that's, you're fulfilling a function. You're running out of time. We don't live but so long. And the true work of God takes time. You have to start being faithful, and you have to keep being faithful. You know, this morning the Lord opened my eyes to something. He said prosperity is a discipline. Prosperity is a discipline. It's not just you working and receiving money. It's far beyond that. True prosperity transcends in everything. Our relationships. Healthy relationships is a discipline. Healthy marriages is a discipline. A prosperous marriage takes discipline. To hear God's word, to do God's word, to be faithful, to not lack, to not slack, to not let things die is a discipline. And when it comes to finances, it's a discipline. You have to get up and do the work, do good work. Because a good business deal leaves both parties better off. You have to solve problems along the way. It's a discipline. And when you earn the finances, you're not done yet. The way you handle finances is a discipline. How do you handle finances? The same thing God told Adam in the first five commandments. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. The same five steps works in everything. It's a discipline. Just because you have money, well, now, honor God in how you spend it and what you use it for. I've seen that wisdom in my parents, and I see it in my pastor. The way he handles money and finances. He doesn't do it haphazardly. So, you know, he wants to be a good steward of what God has given him. And he acts like he does. You know, people may not realize that, you know, you see things in people that they may not even think nothing of it. But I've seen people, they take money and they just go nuts. That's not a discipline. If you've taken the time to earn it and to get it the right way, now finish it off. Take time to spend it right. Whatever you give to God, the way you do things is the way. Your life can be worship. Worship is not just raising your hands and singing to God. How do you live your everyday life? What are your ways? What are they like? The anointing will help us to make all those necessary adjustments. I receive inspiration from wherever the Holy Spirit wants to supply it from. And I like to listen to the sometimes when I just want to just chill and just chill out and just watch a movie or something. I started watching YouTube videos of people that have rapture dreams. you can tell that some of them are not used to public speaking. It take a long time for them to get the thought out. But if you're patient, you can learn an aspect that nobody else has given. And then there are people who are used to, you know, there are preachers that have rapture dreams, and they're more polished in the way that they deliver it over. But I, you know, when you listen to God's people, they don't even know the scripture sometimes, but what they say is scripture because God showed it to them. And then there are those who just want a name for themselves, you know, whatever. But when God is in it, you can tell. Now, if you study the word, you know his voice. You're not going to get sent out of left field by listening to people that's different than what you're used to. If you know God's voice, you'll follow his voice. You're a stranger, you'll know that too. Some things are strange. Sometimes the truth can even sound strange. You just hadn't heard it that way. But look at the whole thing. God uses people to portray things that they may not know. I listened to Ken Peters' vision, and he had a vision of the tribulation. And he said, now the people disappear. He said, I didn't see that. And he didn't. But his dream actually started with the rapture. He saw the graves open up. That was the rapture right there. The dead in Christ rose first. And the Lord didn't show him people disappearing, but he didn't see any children 2 years old and down. He didn't see any babies. Until later on, people started leaving their babies on the street. Well, the dream started at the rapture. And at the time the Lord showed him these things, he didn't know the word. But the Lord needed somebody that could focus on the tribulation and what people would be going through. Because God loved the people that's going to suffer through the tribulation, just like he loves the church. And some of them will become Christians in the tribulation. And some will receive strong delusion because they didn't hold fast to the truth. They love this world. And every time the Lord pleaded with them to come back and repent, they wouldn't do it. They acted like the people that in Jeremiah's day, they wanted Jeremiah to seek the Lord. Then he came back 10 days later. And then they wouldn't follow God. And then they went to Egypt against the will of God. And they took Jeremiah to Egypt. Now these in if you study the, I think it's Jeremiah chapter 42, start at verse at chapter 40 and just read and enjoy yourself, because this is a picture of the people that the Lord will leave behind in the tribulation. And then send them strong delusion, because they're just like those people that Jeremiah ministered to. And they wouldn't repent. And they harden their heart. They were not like the people that got raptured. People that got raptured were soft-hearted. People that the Lord had to leave here, they're hard-hearted. And they won't listen. They put their will first. And they listen to the mind of man over the voice of the Holy Spirit. They're hard-headed. And God loves them, but they just hard-headed. And he can't take them to heaven because they are hard-headed. They love this world. See, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body will become full of darkness. And how great is that darkness, Jesus said. He can't take darkness to heaven. He can't take darkness to heaven. Evil. I'm not talking about a person's skin. I'm talking about evil. He can't take evil to heaven. If you don't get it, if people don't leave it alone and get it out of their life, they just won't go. But God loves you. But he's not going to take evil to heaven. And you can't drag it there either. Just because he loves you and saved you, if you go evil, you're not going. It's just the way it is. And people just should preach right. But when you follow the, operate under the anointing of God, you can do things that can't normally be done. Now the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And those that love him will follow him, and I thank the Lord that they will. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.